song. That goes right into the message that we're going to talk about tonight in regard to the Christian's responsibility for the family and for Christian homes. I know that I'm speaking to the choir tonight, but sometimes we forget how hard it is in regard to Christian homes, and I think we need to look back at it. We need to know that there's a significant responsibility for everybody to be involved in the Christian homes in many different ways. We're going to start out tonight by reading a passage of in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 1 through 9. And this is sometimes called the Magna Carta of the home. It's a series where you're going through and you can just see the message that they're trying to get across to everybody at this point in time. We're going to start in verse 1 in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. Let's go to verse 9. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land where you're crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and your gates. As you go through, you can see the emphasis of what was happening here, how they were trying to tell them before they were crossing over into the land that they were to possess. And you know what they had just went through and the years that they had gone through of punishment in regard to certain things. We're looking in here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to get three real quick points here. It tells us here that we're to show obedience out of love and respect for God. Now, you can obey somebody, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to love and respect them. This obedience is different. It's out of love. It's out of what he had done. It's out of what he had already done for them and how he had led them for so long. And we also warned against forgetting about the Lord. I don't know how many times when I had Neil Pryor in one of my classes at Harding, he used to always start out with this in some of the sections where it had it written there. And another generation grew up that did not know their God. May that never be said of us here. May that never be said of our generation. But it can happen. It has happened. We have a responsibility for our children to teach them. We have a responsibility outside of our children to teach those that we come in contact with. The third thing here is we're shown the need for the transmission of God's truth to the coming generations and through godly parenting. As we look at things tonight, we're looking at a pattern of parenting that God set up. And today, now I'm going to get into more into current time. Think about this. The families that we see in our TV programs today, they're based on worldly concepts. They treat morality as only individual preferences. Just think, I mean, a majority of them, I'd be willing to say that 95%+ of our shows and TV today are set up that way, and that's what the general public is beginning to think. But then I think we have to go back and look, where should we look for guidance? Should we look at these shows for guidance? The normal family today? Is that where we should be looking for our guidance? Then we get back to, if we went back to where Moses was talking there, and even earlier in Genesis, where should our emphasis on the family start? Where should we start our story? We should start with our Heavenly Father, the Creator. This morning we studied about the love of God and how we have trouble expressing how great His love is. Think about the creation and His power. Think about the time in the garden when He was dealing with Adam and Eve and then the rest of the family there. and they moved them out of the garden because of their sin. Just think of how, even though they had turned away from him, he still loved them. Just think of his whole plan all the way through the Old Testament period of time into the New Testament to get down till the time was right and he would send his son here on earth to go through what he was doing for us. In Deuteronomy 6, we see that God's plan starts with earthly fathers here. He is telling them, fathers, you have a responsibility. And that was to teach their children. Is that still true of us today? Do we still have those responsibility? Now I'm going to talk about, and this is in general, let's look at a typical scene as a child goes up in what I consider the world today. Many times children are not able to see and learn what true love is in their earthly situation. A lot of families that our children are growing up in today, and maybe even some of our own, they're not seeing what true love really means. How hard is it for a child to understand the beauty of the love of God if he came from a bad earthly home? Think about that now. A child, as he's growing up, he sees hate. He sees things going on that are just terrible. How much harder is it for that young boy or young girl to grow up and understand the greatness of the love that we talked about this morning? How can we help them understand that love? If they grow up in a family like that, and I know it's awful easy for us to criticize people that do things and wonder, how could they do that? Well, you do have to kind of know where they came from sometimes to possibly understand that. It's our responsibility to help them go from that point because they don't always get it, what they need from home. We all know the great charge that has been placed on us as parents, as grandparents, and other relatives to assist our immediate families as we attempt to raise our children. We can share this same caring and love with those that are not our immediate families, though. We can give that little vision of what true love is for that child that has not seen it. Hopefully, when parents in the world see you expressing, I'm talking about parents of the world, expressing godly love for their children, that you may also be helping them to see the love of God. If you want to make somebody mad, be mean to their children. The reverse works too. If you want to get in touch with somebody and try to maybe get an inroad, be nice to their children. The same things work. We also have a challenge today in our society, the challenge of single parenting. Even if both parents are godly people, the struggle to raise your children is overpowering at some points in our life. Think about that. You've got both parents that are in the home and trying to raise. Is it easy? Does everything work like you thought it was going to work? It don't. I doubt that any of us can say that we didn't make errors. And when I was going through this, I thought of some of my errors. It really got to me at that point. We did need the assistance of others. We do need the assistance from others, even when both parents are there. Just think how many times that we have help of parents and of our friends and our church members here. Years ago, Larry and some of the rest of us will remember it, when our children were coming up, we kind of started a young youth organization, and we were all young parents at that time. Well, we went on through this. We started getting a little older and a little ago. We ended up being Mayo Group is what I call us, the middle-aged youth organization, because we were getting older by that time, but we had raised our children in that situation. I remember many times that some of the parents in that group would go to another parent in the group and express challenges they were having with their children. You can share with one another. You can be able to share those experiences and help build everybody up. What do single parents need? Their households need encouragement. They need support. They need to know, in the scripture, that we read earlier, Psalm 68, 5 through 6, God is greater than any circumstance they may face. It is tough, especially as a single parent, to raise children. You usually find that the parents don't always work together, that even if they are out there in different locations. But it is tough. But we can be there to help them, sometimes to give them a break. We have a friend in Conway up there that has a special needs child, and his both parents there. They adopted a special needs child. Periodically, they need help because of the challenge of being able to take care and what it does to the family and how much time that it takes from the family. We all have opportunities to do things to help one another. And it doesn't necessarily have to be you helping somebody here that goes to church right with us. If you really want to influence somebody, help somebody outside of the church. A father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy habitation. God sets the solidarity in his families. God can help us through that. What we sometimes forget is when the situation gets tough, we forget that that's the time that our prayers need to even be greater, and we need to be praying for one another as they go through things. Now, I'm going to talk real quickly about six general responsibilities of the fathers. I really do believe that the fathers today may be better than the fathers of some of the previous generations, in that sometimes the fathers of today are realizing that they need to spend more time with their children. Sometimes the fathers in previous generations thought their main and only thing was to go out and make money for the family. I do see some changes in the fathers today where they are getting more involved, and that is great. It is a responsibility to provide for the family, and that's one of the responsibilities. We find that in Matthew 7 and 9. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Also 1 Timothy 5 and 8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. A father has responsibilities for providing for his family. And single parents, guess what? They got that responsibility too. That makes their job even that much harder. That's the reason if we can help them in any way, we need to do that. Instructing his children. That's what another responsibility of fathers are the home. Proverbs 1 and 8. My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. Now, when I got down to the last part of that, do not forsake the law of your mother, does anybody, let's think about that a minute. What was the laws that your mother laid down? There were some things you just didn't violate. You were not going to upset your mother that way. Or if you did, you knew you was going to receive punishment from it. It's just important for to listen to the instructions of your father, but make sure that you do what your mother says. Third one. We need to exhort, encourage, and implore the children, just like the apostles did for the Christians. We find that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 11. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children. That's a responsibility of fatherhood and a parenthood. That just as they were like being parents to the Christians at that time, that's what the parents are to do in the home. 4, raise children in the discipline and nurture of the Lord, then without provoking them. It gets to be a little bit of tough on that last part, because sometimes we tend to lose control. We tend to overreact. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Now, you're not going to make them happy. I think that was mentioned and one of the things Brian said this morning. Some of the things you have to do to discipline your children is not going to make them happy. But you give them what they need and maybe not what they want. Colossians 3 and 21. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. That, to me, is more important than I really think that I realized until a few years ago. And as my children were beginning to get a little bit older and testing things, and, you know, what you have to train your children to do is, how many, have you failed ever in your life, personally yourself? Do you think your children are going to fail too? You got to teach them, when they do fail, how to get back up. How to start following it again. How to start trying harder. Sometimes you can be so cruel when they do fall that you can drive them away and discourage them so much that they'll never darken the doors again. That's not what I saw in Christ. Even with the harlot that was caught in the midst of adultery, Christ said, "Where are your stoners, or the people that are going to kill you?" And then he looked and said, "Go and sin no more. Neither do I." Sometimes we are meaner to our own children than we are to our friends or other people that we know. We don't have the patience that we do need. As we're raising our children and as grandparents and parents trying to help others, it's a fine line between punishing somebody and making them so discouraged that they will not try to get back up and walk again. In Hebrews 12 and 7, now this is disciplining children, but it also is dealing with God disciplining us as Christians. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Does that tell me that if a father has never chastened their child, something's wrong? Yeah, that's what it tells me. We all know that there's going to be different times. But it also tells us right there at the first, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. The same way with us. Have we been chastened by God before? Have we known it that we messed up and that we need that freedom that he gives us through repentance of our sins? Yes. We have to carry that same thing forward with our children. This next one, number 6, the last one in this segment. Love his wife. This is the husband is supposed to love the wife. The husband's respect for the mother is critical to the well-being of the family unit. The working and cohesiveness of that unit and of your children's future units. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5, 3 verses there. We're going to look at 5:25, then 28, then 33. The first one, 5:25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Example of how Christ loved the church. Now, how much did Christ love the church? Enough to go to the cross. Enough to be beat. Enough to hang there on the cross. And at the same time, while he was hanging on the cross, look over to a sinner who knew he was a sinner and telling him that at that day he would be with him in glory, still thinking about somebody being saved. Verse 28. So husbands ought to love their wife as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. Now, we usually try to take care of ourselves, don't we? We're pretty good at that. We know how to take care of our own body, and we do that very well. But what this is talking about is loving somebody else as much or more than I love my own self. Think about this now. And that example being shown in the home before your children. We don't always do this correctly. We fail at this. This next one. Nevertheless, let each of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Both ways. In your home, your children should see that the husband loves the wife and that the wife loves and respects the husband back. It takes both. Now, what does that do when a child is raised in that situation? It gives them a much greater ability to go into the future knowing what is possible. If they're raised in a home where there's continual fighting, continual problems going on all of the time, it's going to make it that much harder. I've heard of the situation in regard to divorce occurring in families, that if there's a divorce in the family, the chance of the child being divorced is almost 2 times greater than if they're living in a family where there was not a divorce. Why? What did they learn? What did they see in their families? That it just makes your mind go to the point where that's acceptable, I think, as much as anything else. Sometimes we forget, we go through all this about the family, and we forget the other responsibilities, the backup responsibilities. Children have responsibilities also. They have responsibility to obey the parents. Now, this isn't obeying just in word only. Oh, yeah, I'll do it if I have to. But it's doing it because you love your parents and you know that they care for you. And then this next one, to honor their parents. You know, that goes both ways in regard to honor. We read in Psalms and several other places about the importance of showing honor. In Proverbs, we see it in 31, chapter 31 there. But it's a responsibility for the children to honor their parents. The third thing doesn't always happen, and sometimes it sometimes happens when it's too late, to seek advice. Children ought to seek advice from their parents. As the wiser and the more experienced. Of course, I've always found that parents get wiser when their children are older and adults themselves. You'll learn an awful lot between 25 and 35, parents. They'll finally figure out that you weren't as limited as they thought you were at that time. To provide care if needed is the fourth thing. Sometimes the children have to provide care. As you get my age, it becomes a whole lot more important to be able to provide care for your parents. And you see the example. But it goes both ways. I remember many times when my parents cared for me. And then as they got older, my mother especially one day said, "Well, you shouldn't be having to do this for me." And I just thought back a few times and some of the stupid things we did where we had accidents, where we broke, cut, got snake bit, or whatever it may have been between three boys. And the things that they went through and how many nights of sleep you lose. Just think of the night you lose as a parent to sleep when your child is sick. Well, one day, children, that may return and they may need your help, even to the point of your help in making some decisions that are very, very hard. As people get a little bit older, they see this more often, and it's not any more fun than it was for them to do it when you start having to do that for them later on. Ephesians chapter 6 is one of the places that we go to always for the parents, where the children are to learn to obey their parents, and I have several other scriptures there. The clearest and loudest words our children will ever hear. The clearest and loudest words our children will ever hear. Just think of these quote. Children who live with critical parents learn to be critical. Children who parents scream and argue learn to do the same. Children whose parents find all kind of excuses to miss Bible class and church find it easy to do the same. Children whose parents are not involved in ministry and concern for others will likewise be indifferent to those around them. Now, I'm not saying that they cannot improve. Thank goodness they can. But it is harder. The things that you see as a child, you have to work through and overcome. I don't know if you ever, but one time years ago, I said something, and right after I said it, my mind went back to a time when I heard a very similar thing to me from my dad. And I thought it was mean, and there I was saying it myself. Boy, that struck me. I kind of thought it, oh no, I said I wasn't going to do that, you know. And we learn different things like that, but it's awful hard to get away from something that we have heard as a child and that we have experienced as a child. We need to be very careful in how we express things around our children. Being critical all the time. You ever heard of the expression, well, they had the preacher for lunch today. Easily criticize an individual sometimes when we may not know the rest of the story or the whole story. We better try to get the full story before we do that. Parents who scream and argue, that becomes normal. That becomes acceptable. Yes, you can overcome it. I'm not saying that people that are raised up in these situations should be expected, and it's okay for them to do that either, as an excuse. It's not. But we have the responsibility to try not to do that and try to improve. Yep, I'm getting back to mine. I'm going to read this tonight. I found it on the internet, and it's a quote from a U.S. Senate chaplain. He was speaking at a church men's dinner meeting of approximately 100 men, and he said, "How many of you believe in prayer in public schools?" 100 of them raised their hand up. Said, "Raise your hand if you believe in prayer." Then he asked, "How many of you pray daily with your children?" Only a few raised their hand. An observer said, "Children have never been good at listening to their elders, but they will never fail to imitate them." This is serious to me. This is a problem that I think we have. This is a problem that I think we need to get better at, and that is, it's not just meal time. It's other time that we share the word. When Moses was talking to his people, he says, when you get up, when you go to bed, when you do, you know, you're talking about the Lord all the time. You're talking about things that you should be doing and learning and trying to teach them so you will instill that within your family. Think about that in the last group that very few raised their hand. Would we, each one of us, would we have been able to raise our hand affirmative that yes, I pray with my children regularly or daily? I'm afraid, and I failed to do this every day. And that, you know, it's an error. It's wrong. Because it is prayer is the one way that we have to go directly to our Lord with a request that we know He hears. We need to think about this as we go forward, as we try to help our children now who are parents, and that the young people who will be parents in not too long, that they will practice that. A family that prays together, stays together. A family that prays together, stays in the church together too, and stays faithful to God. The challenge of leading a family as we should is great. Do we need help? We do. We have the opportunity at this time for you to express your need for guidance from our Heavenly Father. We come at this point of our service tonight where we give through an opportunity. You know, through prayer, we can give God the opportunity to work within you and through your family and your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ by committing to become diligent in raising children in the Lord's way. If we can assist you tonight in any way, please come forward as we stand and sing the invitation.